It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 3 o'clock, we turn our attention to baseball. And we're going to do this a couple different ways this week. Now, Tigers enter the All-Star break at the worst possible time because they're red hot. Crazy weekend at the ballpark, great crowds. Yes, Ohtani and the Dodgers played that role. Who cares?
Yeah.
More on that later. But 8-2 in their last 10. But here's what I want to do. Before we go and start looking at the second half of the year and the trade deadline and all that, we're going to save that for later in the week. I'm interested to see your perspective, Mike, but also the people. If I ask you to describe, we're going to call this Tigers at 100, even though it's only 97 games. Just work with me. It's not the halfway point. You're well over the halfway point. You're 100 games in. How would you describe what you watched, if you watched, up to this point in one word? And look, I can give you my word. It's simple. It's maddening. It's maddening. I came into this season dying for them to add a bat or two, to just build a foundation for the young guys, and the pitching is good enough. And they didn't. And the only the more that they win, the more it reinforces my point, and that frustrates me. So maybe the word is frustrating and not maddening. Maddening is worse than frustrating. I'm being driven to madness by this team because as they've gotten hot, it's reinforcing how dumb their offseason was. And I'm left going, damn it. We could be a playoff team. So my word is maddening.
Mine is psychotic.
Explain that.
Because psychotic, obviously, if you're psychotic, you know, there's psychosis, which by definition is delusional and suffering hallucinations. And when you watch this team play, you go through these spurts, and I don't want to be a doggy downer here, but this is maybe one of these spurts where you're under the delusion that they're good. But then reality sets in and you realize that you are hallucinating. And yes, certain players have gotten better, but they still have, you know, Javi's still playing. McKinstry, yes, he had a triple. He's still in the lineup. I mean, it's the bullpen isn't what it was. They're still not very good. So that's why I say they're psychotic.
I'd love to know where you guys are at with it. And look, it's an interesting thing because for many of you, this team disappeared from the radar end of May. You just haven't watched them. And it's not your fault. I mean, it's this battle between a cable network and a cable provider. But how would you describe the Detroit Tigers at the All-Star break? Now, they've pulled it within 3 games of being 500. Unfortunately, going 8-2 really didn't nibble away at the deficit. They're still 7 out of the wild card.
Correct.
But I didn't want to go down that road today. I wanted to wait on that. But it was more, okay, you have a Cy Young candidate pitcher. You have this three-headed monster on the pitching staff. And yet, you have amazing moments, whether it's the comebacks against the Dodgers or whether it's been some of Scooble's performances. And then you have these lows where it's like, wait, did we just lose a series to the Marlins or the A's?
Yes.
Or did the Angels just hit us with a garbage can? Or, wow, we can't score runs at all. Like, it's maddening. That is just my word for it. And I wanted to know where you were at with it. Because the whole idea of processing, all right, well, where do we go from here? I think it's all determined on straight up, if you're trading Jack Flaherty, you can't ask me to invest in this.
No. But, and like I said, we'll get into it later in the week, if they do what I think they're going to do, and that's even if they play 500 baseball, they're not going to make, not only are they 7 out, there's like 4 teams ahead of them, and yeah. Everybody says, well, those teams play each other, they'll get some losses.
No, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but they'll also get wins.
Look, if you do the math equation, right, 97 games in, So you got, what, 65 games left.
They basically have to play 600 baseball.
It's actually closer to 660.
Okay.
But yeah. I mean, Mike, it's going to take probably 90 wins to make the wild card. So you do the math. You're sitting there at, what, 47? You would need to go 43. Hold on. I got to do this. Is it 67 games left?
You said they've played 97, so that would be 65.
65 games left, and they've got 47 wins. You need to win 43 ball games, so it's like 43 and 28 or whatever. Can you play 15 games above 500?
I don't think so.
I don't think so, especially if you're trading Flaherty.
Right.
So I would describe this first half as maddening.
Yeah, that's a great word. And look, there's certain things that are to go with your maddening and my. Psychotic thing
that's
is
a fascinating word
because psychotic at the beginning of the year, because you thought you were living under this delusion that you had these great young players like Torkelson and Meadows, and then Tork does what he does and Meadows does awful, comes back, then he gets hurt, and then you have Carpenter, he gets hurt. Now look, let's be honest here. Cole Keith, I mean, the numbers that these guys are putting up in July, now granted, small sample size. And people are trying to go, last five games. No, I'm looking a little bigger than that. But in July, Keith's OPS is 1.267.
Mm.
Five homers, 13 RBIs with a 370 batting average. Riley Green, 1.086 OPS in July. Molloy, who's turning into a really good hitter that they thought he feels like Edward Scissorhands, so there's a problem. But his OPS is 924. Even your favorite Gio Urshela is hitting 298 with an OPS of over 800. And yes, Javi's OPS is 478 still. But see, that's my delusion.
You're bad.
Well, they did make a great play Friday night, the game I was
on. Oh, well, good. That justifies 25 million. No, but I would like to know the one word to describe it. I'm very frustrated. I mean, I'm thrilled they're winning, but it's almost like, it's like Will Ferrell at the funeral. Damn you, Roger. Damn you. Like, if you would have just done anything this offseason, and if you would have provided these kids with the support they needed, I really do believe you're 5, 6, 7 games better. And it's like, I'm so bummed out because they win 8 out of 10. It was amazing Thursday to be on the air, and people wanted to talk about baseball, the actual game.
God,
I'm dying.
How
for
great
this.
Was those years where people, we'd bitch about lineups, we'd bitch
awesome.
About pitching changes. That's what the sport's about.
Right. And it's what we desperately want here. Like, I don't know anyone who doesn't want this team to win. It doesn't make any sense. It's just the idea of they could really be in this, and they're not. And it's because of that Dinder Mifflin offseason. And we're sitting here now, and I'm going, wow, you got hot too late. It's not going to be significant enough. And then I'm going to have to watch Flaherty disappear in a couple weeks. That's really hard for me to get excited about.
I get it.
So I would love to know where people are at. 248-539-9797. Kenny, your one word was daiquiri. Do you want to explain?
No, my one word was predictable. It's a little bit of a different spin on what you guys were saying, but Scott Harris basically told you at the beginning of the season we weren't ready to buy bats, so I was expecting not a lot of bats, and then it took him how long to actually send Maeda to the bullpen up until right now. They continue to play Javi Baez when he's healthy, even though he's consistently one of the worst bats in all of baseball. So being here, right now, I knew they were a better team than what they were last year, probably, hopefully. But right now, predictable. We're exactly where I thought we would be talking about selling Flaherty.
Let me ask you a question about Javi, though. I'm not defending him at all. But he goes hurt. They bring up Kreidler. He's worse than Baez.
Yeah, but again.
And I'm forgetting to look how much Baez is getting paid. I get all that. I mean, you want McKinstry every day? I mean.
I don't want to do this now.
I know.
No. You're fine. Because it's going to lead me into a topic that Kenny got spit roasted for. And I think it's inappropriate. I don't think Kenny deserved it. There's a way this team could be a buyer. And yet still, it's a part of a rebuild, meaning if you're trading for a player with term who's an everyday player, that's not a desperate ploy.
No,
it's expediting it. Like, the Blue Jays are going to blow their team up. Like, would Bo Bichette, who's a three-time All-Star and a guy who's received MVP votes, yes, he's had a down year. Yes, he's been a little injured. The point is, all of a sudden, what does a lineup look like if Bo Bichette showed up to town?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a way they could re-engage and maybe make a run at this thing. But the problem's the math.
Correct.
They just dawdled around for too long. Now, it's doable, but they're going to have to play a level of ball, and that's where I get so frustrated. Because if they had done what I wanted, it never would have got here.
Right.
I feel that in my bones, Stoney. My bones.
I get it. Do you need, and I don't know if it'll make you feel any, but look, the Langford-Clark thing, I think it was
it's
not
Clark,
that bad.
Clark McGonigal.
Right.
It's a two-for-one.
Right. So I have no problem with it. It hurts them this year, obviously. But if for some reason, at the end of the season, whenever he decides to speak the truth, if Scott Harris or Jeff Greenberg, whoever, say, look, we went after Chapman or we went after one of these guys and they turned us down, do you need to hear that?
Yes.
Okay.
But the problem is they can't say it because they didn't. And in fact, Scott Harris openly mocked it. Okay. The idea of saying, well, look at the free agents. They haven't produced. And it's like, Scott, who are you talking about? Mm-hmm. Martinez has. Bellinger has. Chapman has. Like, who are you talking about in specific? Because those weren't the people we were talking right. about. And once you say the word fans, well, yeah, I have a right to say I don't know any fan who those were the three. And if Chapman was the one, guy's going to end up being a six war player this year.
Mm-hmm.
So who are you talking about exactly? See, that's my problem. And by the way, the idea that he went out and burned $25 million on Mark Canha and Kenta Maeda, every fan has a right to have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Because we all sit here and say they don't spend. Well, there were their expenditures. One guy's a gas can relegated to the pen, albeit he pitched well yesterday. And the other guy is a nothing. He's a nothing.
I know.
248-539-9797. Kenny, you sure your one word isn't daiquiri?
I would like it to be daiquiri.
That's what's in the show sheet. Right.
Okay.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Kenny, we'll get some of the ticket texts, and I'll go to the phones in a second. But just asking, all right, let's just for clean purposes, Tigers at 100 games. What is the one word you would describe that first 100 games of the season as we hit the All-Star break? For me, it's maddening. They were never horrible. They were never the White Sox. They were never the Marlins. They were never the Angels. But they were never good. And I believe now they've shown this life and then, you know, some of the cardiac cat stuff. And you're like, you know, if you guys would have gone out and spent some damn money, and if you would have drafted someone who had hit puberty already and could be here, this team would be 5-6 games better. And the conversation would be totally different. Maddening is my word. Because I still feel like they're trading Flaherty and how could I believe we're going to go on a magic run? Stoney's, the word is wild to me, but Stoney's is psychotic.
Because of delusions and you're hallucinating when you watch them play sometimes. It goes from one extreme to the other.
Kenny Cott, what do the ticket texts have to say?
Got a bunch of ticket texts here. One saying just frustrating, simply frustrating.
All right, that's similar to mine.
Yeah. Intriguing is another one. A team with no potential doesn't madden me. This team is so close, and that's the frustrating part. So frustrating is my word.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They are close. And it's why at the start of the year, here, I'm dumb guy. I thought they'd win 85 games. And if that's why I wanted to bring bats in, that's why I wanted Wyatt Langford. It was the idea of you're not as far away as you think because the pitching is real. Nobody's a bigger fan of Skubal than me, but I'm also willing to listen on any player when my team is not winning a World Series. He also got screwed, by the way. He should be starting the All-Star
damn right
game tomorrow night, but we'll talk about that later.
Yes.
He got screwed.
By the way, breaking political news.
Don't.
I'm just going to say that since no comment, Donald Trump says J.D. Vance, the Ohio senator, will be his vice president. Joel, candidate. Okay.
Can he hit the fastball?
He's J.D.
Because Jace Young can't. don't know if you looked at his minor league numbers. Go look at what he's hitting with fastballs over 94 miles an hour.
Not Jace, J.D. J.D. Vance.
Somebody call J.D. Vance. Can he play third?
Can he play middle infield?
Yeah, something. Can he play short and be not a negative war player? Kenny, go ahead, and then we'll get to the callers.
The winner in the clubhouse by far is Sneaky. We got Sneaky about 100 times when we introduced the topic.
And I think there's a lot of truth to that. Look, we have said this from jump. If they got into the playoffs, nobody would want to face them because the three-headed monster in a short series of Flaherty and Skubal and Olson. But again.
Oh, and then you got Maeda coming out of the bullpen.
Okay, I think we can move on from that.
He did look good yesterday out of that bullpen.
Let's go to Joe, 97.1. Joe, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Mikey. How you doing?
I'm good, pal. What's on your mind?
Not much. You know, you're talking about the Tigers. You were talking about Friday night. When I'm watching, you know, I don't like AJ Hinch. I don't think he's a good manager. And I'm going to tell you why. Okay? Because I think, like, when he didn't walk Ohtani for that ground rule double in, was it the eighth inning maybe? Seventh inning? Eighth inning. You got to walk the guy. Okay? You have to walk the guy. He's the best hitter. I mean, I'm 41 years old I've ever seen in my life. You got to walk the guy. He didn't. We could have swept that series. Okay? Now, you want to talk about the Saturday when it was 9-4, they came a miraculous comeback. That's fine. Okay? But I'm talking like close games when, you know, he goes out there and doesn't walk Ohtani with a guy on, I think it was first base. I mean, you got to be kidding me right now. AJ Hinch is not a good manager. I'm telling you guys. Like, he didn't do anything in Arizona. Okay? Now, of course, they're banging garbage cans in Houston, and they won the World Series. Congratulations. You're the best team of all time. Okay? He hasn't done anything for this team. He's not a good manager.
All right. So, look, I would just meet you in the middle, and if you want to say you don't believe he's a top five manager in the sport, fine. Maybe some of the luster's off. But for you to say he's a bad manager, I can't do that. He doesn't have the tools to work with. Yes, the Ohtani thing, or hey, you know, the weird decision in Cleveland to let David Fry, who's got like an 1100 OPS against lefties, and you got Chafin in the game. Yeah. Hey, there's some mistakes, and I hear you loud and clear, Joe. But
Mikey, be honest with me, man. Like, well, what has he done? He's been here 3-4 years now. Like, what has he done?
Yeah, but what has he had? Let's be honest here. Now, hold on. When Scott Harris shops for the groceries and says, I'm bringing you a six-pack of Urshela, what kind of meal are you putting on the table here?
Hey, Mikey, I get it. You know, but the point is that, like, if you're a great manager, look what Terry – okay, off subject. Look what Terry Francona did with Cleveland. Like, these guys – like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're a great manager...
I'll give you an example. I want to give you an example. I do. Look at the end of last year. And I know no one paid any attention because the Lions were playing. But when you look at the last 6-8 weeks of the year, Hinch, with roster flexibility, the ultimate money ball approach, he was pulling all the right strings. And it was a miracle to get them to 78 wins. Okay, this year the flexibility's not really there. It's just not.
No.
They don't have enough good ball players. I blame Scott Harris. That makes me a bad person. So be it. But you gotta have talent. You can't fake your way to 90 wins.
No, it's a long season. It's 162 freaking games. And you know, Tony thing, it was bad, but you know, he was 0-for-4 in the game, so he was having a bad game.
I'm a slap with Ohtani, because for me, I would treat him like Barry Bonds. I would never pitch.
I don't disagree.
Mookie Betts didn't play.
Right.
Ohtani, just walk it down to first base. I would treat him like Barry Bonds because I believe he is Barry Bonds, minus roids.
Mike, real quick, somebody said, I'm surprised your word isn't Lankford.
I know. Kenny, I'm trying. I'm trying to let go. I'm rooting for Max Clark and McGonagall, and we'll see in a few years. But yes, it's difficult, Kenny. Think about it. When they're on this tear, what would it have been like with Chapman and Wyatt? What would it be like? What would it look like?
Plus, Keith gets all that insulation. He can probably bat a little bit better. The lows aren't so low.
Maybe Torek actually could have hit.
And the highs would be higher. I'm sorry. I know That, you know, like the morning show does walleye. My word should just be Wyatt. I got to stop. I know I got to stop.
I noticed we've just been doing 20 minutes of this topic with no Langford, so I wanted to help you out.
Thank you. Kenny, I greatly appreciate that. I do. Personal growth. Cameron, 97.1. What's up, Cam?
Hi, Mike. I was originally going to lead with the word confusing to describe the Tigers, but I think a more appropriate one would be deceitful. And this is because Tigers right now are that one team in every sport, in every season, that shows their true colors for most of the season, but goes on a miraculous stretch, and everyone starts changing their mind. But then they just fall back to usual, and people are somehow surprised. Like a couple examples, even this last season in multiple sports. The Denver Broncos last year in the NFL, they went on that 5-0 stretch. They were white hot. They beat the Bills on Monday Night Football. They beat the Chiefs their first time in forever.
But they came into Ford Field and got their asses handed to them, didn't they?
Yeah, and then they fell off the face of the earth. Russ is benched for the last couple of games of the season, gets cut, and they're in full rebuild right now. In the NBA, around halfway through the season, the hottest team in the league was the Utah Jazz, who were terrible.
Yep.
I mean, obviously not terrible enough.
Yeah,
to lose
it doesn't
the Pistons,
feel
but...
it doesn't feel authentic. No. But I'm with you, Cam, and it's why frustrating is mine. The pitching has primarily been there. The offense has primarily been an atrocity. And you're left going, how could they have gone into the season and allowed it when they are close? Cam, they're close to being good. And that's so frustrating because they, again, you know, it's fine. I'm not mad when you're picking 11th or 12th and you take a high school shortstop like they did last night. But again, to Kenny's point, I would have viewed it like I've got a cheat code here. Wyatt Langford was a gift and I could inject that and make him a part of my core immediately. No, he's not Paul Skeens, but I mean, you drafted him and called him up. Like, yeah, Cam, it's frustrating. How could I not help my kids out and bring a veteran bat in here?
Do you think, and I'm not trying to make an excuse because he didn't draft him. Do you think, especially at the time of the draft, Torque hadn't gotten hot yet? They were gun-shy towards he was maybe gun-shy towards a college bat. I don't know.
No, I think, first of all, you didn't draft the guy. He was drafted in a worldwide pandemic.
Yeah.
He had his, you know, Arizona State time cut short. There was no minor league baseball. They did rush him here. And look, maybe ultimately he's just not any good.
Right.
All right? There have been plenty of Matthew Bushes and Manny Maniacs.
Yes,
and you know, there's plenty of number one overall picks who just end up sucking. It happens. It sucks. The problem is the Tigers, both guys they took number one overall.
Right.
Neither of them are difference makers.
Correct.
So, no. I
and neither was Matt Anderson, if you want to go back another decade.
Sure. Yeah. I understand Scott Harris's approach. I don't have to agree with it.
Right.
Because I believed, as bad as Alavila was, they had a knack for finding pitching. And you inherited some serious pitching. And you inherited a couple of pieces. For very little money in the grand scheme of things, or no money, draft-wise, you could have expedited this without ever really costing yourself much.
Right.
And I'm just not big on wasting time and money. And I know it's not fair to Scott Harris. I know that. But we haven't made the playoffs in a decade. And I'm not giving away years of my life. And what you experienced Friday night is what we deserve.
Mm-hmm.
A full park. Comerica can be a magical place, a vibe. It's summer in Detroit. You want a baseball team. And it's like, I get resentful. I get spiteful. I do. I'm a bad person.
I don't blame you.
I mean. Dakery. 248-539-9797.
You're psychotic.
More of your phone calls next. We will touch the table on football later in the hour. It is a holiday in about 31 minutes as College Football 25 releases to the masses. How many people skipped work? How many relationships are falling to the wayside? Kenny broke up with his girl last night. He's cleared his deck. He is ready to go. Very exciting.
Ooh.
I know. I couldn't believe it.
Unbelievable.
Categorically untrue.
Okay, then. 97-1. We'll get a little football to you at 3:45 right now. Kind of looking back before we look forward. We're going to talk Tigers a lot this week. Specifically the last 65 games of the season. 7 games out of the wild card. They're red hot. The break really does come at the worst time. I mean, right now, if you told me Toronto was in town for 3, I'd probably tell you they'd sweep them the way they're playing. But they're not. The week is here. And we'll get into Skubal getting screwed, whether it's today or tomorrow. It's going to happen. Tarek Skubal should be starting for the AL. This is anti-Detroit rhetoric, and I will not stand for it. But let's get to the people. We'll touch table on some football. And then we got to celebrate Men's Day. So this is Men's Day.
Oh, yeah. You know what else is it today is, Michael?
College Football 25.
No, you know what else? It's a holiday for you, too.
Well, yeah.
Today, I just found out, is National I Love Horses Day.
I'm in.
For any type of horse.
Big performance by White Beam in the Diana this weekend.
Oh, good. But even if it's you have a horse, a racehorse, a pet horse, an equestrian horse, today is National I Love Horses
Day. You know what, Stoney? Yeah, that's right. We have multiple buglers.
I love this.
Here. Let's go back to Stoney's prime, when this dude was like blowing rails and was all over town. 1982.
Oh,
there you go, Mike. So thank you for that. All right. Okay. Sufficient. To the people we go, what is your one word to describe the Tigers' first 97 games? Daryl is up next, 97-1. What's up, Daryl? How are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing good. How y'all doing today?
Excellent. What do you got?
I said this last 8-2 is how the season been going. It's almost like an illusion. Can you imagine walking through the desert and you think you see some water, then you get there and it ain't there? And I think that's what they're doing to us. They're making us feel like it's a possibility, and they just getting us ready for high blood pressure or heart attack, depending on how much of a fan you are, because that gave us hope. You just went 2 out of 3 and possibly could have swept the Dodgers. And it's just one big illusion. We think something there, and it's just really not there.
Daryl, you're right. I think the one pushback I would offer is the pitching is not an illusion. The pitching is very real.
No, I love the pitcher. I think Skubal got screwed. You talk about the All-Star. We lost at Skubal game and win the other two. That's what got me really more confused, too. So confusion can be one also.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And look, Skubal should be starting the All-Star game, period. It's not even an argument.
There's data that backs it up.
Oh, boy. Take a David Fizdale reset. Let's go to Alexander 97-1. Alex, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, just want to say, first of all, first-time caller, so it's good to be
Welcome.
On.
Thank good you. To have you.
I am disappointed by the season, but I do think it's important to give some context. I think you're not wrong at the start of the season. I agreed that I thought 85 wins was achievable for this team. And given where we were at this point last year, Guardians leading the division at 45, I didn't think that we were doing anything wrong by saying, like, our current roster could be leading the division by the All-Star break and could win with 87, 88 wins this year. I want to defend Scott Harris because I don't necessarily agree that it would have been the right move to pay Matt Chapman $54 million. And I'm not suggesting that you guys are saying that as well. But I think what will really make me mad is if he doesn't take that money that he saved, not spending this offseason, and he doesn't lock up Skubal and Riley Green.
Well,
that's what'll make me pissed.
So, Alexander, let's meet in the middle. So, first of all, what you should be angry about is, okay, you don't like Chapman. A, the idea they didn't call anyone, which they didn't, but then they did spend $25 million on Mark Canna and Kenta Maeda. That's a disaster. Then factor in the choice you made in the draft, which it is pennies on the dollar in today's world. You chose to kick the can to 2027 versus middle of the order college bat who was ready from day one for the Rangers. I will meet you in the middle on this. If this offseason, if they don't raise this payroll by $50, $60 million, and they don't get serious about providing a product now, that to me is the final frontier with Scott Harris. It's the winter meetings and the offseason. It is, come on, enough.
I'm not here to defend, like, the Maeda signing. I didn't think it was great. I also don't think that anybody thought he was going to be as bad as he was.
Nobody did. A lot of people thought it was a decent signing, including most of us. But the difference is we're not paid to be wrong.
And he gave him a two-year deal when he gave Flaherty a one. Plus, Canna's been a nothing. I mean, Alexander, listen, you can do what you want to do. If you think Scott Harris is brilliant, it's fine. I need to see it to believe it. Because so far, I'm sorry. That was a faulty offseason. And it's costing us the ability to have a really fun summer.
Right. We're being selfish.
Yes. I'm a fan. That's what we do.
Yeah, I know.
Christ. It's not like Scott Harris is my brother. I mean, it's just do the job. Win games. I'll say nice things. Tired of watching Akil Badu or watching McKinstry. Yes, I know he actually hit a baseball this weekend. Tired of it.
Come on, Vlade with a...
Right. But the Buddy Kennedy era. It was a blessed time.
Yes.
248-539.
We'll see what he can get for Flaherty, and he better trade Carson Kelly, too, or Rogers, one or the other. Both those catchers should not be here after the deadline.
No. No. It's Urshela. It's one catcher. I don't know that. I mean, look, would Canna be a depth piece for somebody? Maybe. And it's Flaherty. And I mean, if you're trading those pieces, I can't get all excited about making some run.
No.
But we'll get there. Because right. what if they were buyers for players with term, like a cornerstone piece, adding something to this rebuild in real time? What about that? We'll do that later this week.
Yes.
I'm sure I'll be made fun of for that too. All right. Brief little moment here to talk a little NFL football because it never totally stops. We have Kenneth Cott in a hideous Macho Man t-shirt to provide the NFL blitz.
This courtesy of Pro Football Focus, PFF put out their tiered quarterback list. 7 different tiers of value of quarterback.
7?
It is a 7-tier list. We're going to rattle our way through it, okay?
God. Okay.
The 7th one, they call the holdovers just the quarterbacks who are either bad or we just haven't seen enough of them to put them higher on the list.
So hold on. Let's have fun with this.
We're just doing starting quarterbacks.
I was going to ask you, are these 32 quarterbacks broken up into...
Well, it's 32 teams, 7 tiers, but there are combinations. Like, I'll give you one on the list, for example, is Darnold / McCarthy because we don't know.
Okay, fair. Like, Darnold would be a stopgap. But these are holdovers?
Yes.
All right, let me hear the holdover classification.
Daniel Jones, O'Connell, Minshew, Darnold, McCarthy, and Jared Stidham, Bo Nix.
Yes.
That's 29 through 32.
I think you could also label that guys heading into coffin. Like, it's seriously. I mean, Minshew is a great table setter, great backup. He's a guy in a pinch that can help you. Not a starting quarterback in this league for an 18-week season.
No.
The Darnold thing, it's only because McCarthy's not ready. Daniel Jones, it's because they're stuck with him. And Stidham, I bet you Bo Nix wins the job out of camp, be honest with you. So, yes, I'm fine with that. All right, let's go tier 6.
Tier 6 is, quote, the next generation. So, for obvious reasons, you have Will Levis, you have Jaden Daniels, Jacoby Brissett / Drake May, and Bryce Young and Anthony Richardson. That makes up 24 through 27 or 28.
I like it, but believe it or not, I like the Brissett-May combo.
What?
I think Brissett...
Are you back to doing coke again?
No.
Brissett-May combo with no weapons. Paul Sarah knows. You're back on the dust again, aren't you?
Down the road, I think Brissett's going to start, and you know the kid's going to learn, and he's going to be good. That's all.
Okay, I would put Brissett in tier 7.
I also would. The next one is can win or lose an entire game single-handedly. That's tier 5.
All right, let me hear this.
That's 20, Baker Mayfield, 21, Derek Carr, 22, Russell Wilson, 23, Deshaun Watson.
That's really, really good.
It is.
But I would have put your team in there too, sorry.
Who?
I put Daniel Jones in that list.
He's not good enough to be in that tier. He's terrible.
But he can win or lose.
He can't win you a game. Even when the Giants went to the playoffs, he had 14 touchdowns.
With his legs. He can win you one
He's
game.
In a wheelchair. So look, the Watson one is the one that really jumps out. When he just stays out of the way and makes some throws, they're great. But man, do you see Watson make some hideous decisions. That's the one that jumps out to me. Some of those guys are over the hill. This is a dude with the largest guaranteed contract in the history of the NFL.
The next one is the most populated tier of the list. It's called the Melting Pot of Quarterbacks. It contains 11 through 19. So stop me when you have something to say on one of them. 19 is Caleb Williams. 18, Geno Smith. 17, Kyler Murray. And 16, Jared Goff is in there.
Oh, Goff should be, he should be better.
That's a disgrace.
Yeah.
What kind of list is this?
I just saw an ESPN list today where they have the top 10 by all the executives and the
Oh, we'll get into that. We will get that one, too.
You know, look, the Caleb Williams one is the other one I take issue with. I'm a big believer, Stoney. I'm a big believer in the Bears this year. Yeah. I think they're going to be a pain in the ass. And Caleb, if he is anything close to what's been promised, with the weapons they've provided him, they're going to be a pain in the ass because that defense is good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll get a little football to you at 3:45 right now. Kind of looking back before we look forward. We're going to talk Tigers a lot this week. Specifically the last 65 games of the season. Seven games out of the wild card. They're red hot. The break really does come at the worst time. I mean, right now, if you told me Toronto was in town for three, I'd probably tell you they'd sweep them the way they're playing. But they're not, and the week is here. And we'll get into Skubal getting screwed, whether it's today or tomorrow. It's going to happen. Tarek Skubal should be starting for the AL. This is anti-Detroit rhetoric, and I will not stand for it. But let's get to the people. We'll touch table on some football. And then we got to celebrate Men's Day. So this is Men's Day.
Oh, yeah. You know what else today is, Michael?
College football 25.
No, you know what else? It's a holiday for you, too.
Well, yeah.
Today, I just found out, is National I Love Horses Day.
I'm in.
For any type of horse.
Big performance by White Beam in the Diana this weekend.
Oh, good. But even if it's you have a horse, a racehorse, a pet horse, an equestrian horse, today is National I Love Horses
Day. You know what, Stoney? Yeah, that's right. We have multiple buglers.
I love this.
Here. Let's go back to Stoney's prime when this dude was like blowing rails and was all over town. 1982.
Oh.
There you go, Mike. So thank you for that. All right. Okay. Sufficient. To the people we go, what is your one word to describe the Tigers' first 97 games? Daryl is up next, 97-1. What's up, Daryl? How are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing good. How y'all doing today?
Excellent. What do you got?
I said this last 8-2 is how the season been going. It's almost like an illusion. Can you imagine walking through the desert and you think you see some water, then you get there and it ain't there? And I think that's what they're doing to us. They're making us feel like it's a possibility. And they just getting us ready for high blood pressure or heart attack, depending on how much of a fan you are, because that gave us hope. You just went 2 out of 3 and possibly could have swept the Dodgers. And it's just one big illusion. We think something there, and it's just really not there.
Yeah, Daryl, you're right. I think the one pushback I would offer is the pitching is not an illusion. The pitching is very real.
No, I love the pitcher. I think Skubal got screwed. You talk about the All-Star. We lost at Skubal game and win the other two. That's what got me really more confused, too. So confusion can be one also.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And look, Skubal should be starting the All-Star game, period. It's not even an argument.
There's data that backs it up.
Oh, boy. Take a David Fizdale reset. Let's go to Alexander 97-1. Alex, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, just want to say, first of all, first-time caller, so it's good to be
on. Thank
good
you. To have you.
I am disappointed by the season, but I do think it's important to give some context. I think you're not wrong at the start of the season. I agreed that I thought 85 wins was achievable for this team. And given where we were at this point last year, Guardians leading the division at 45 and 45, I didn't think that we were doing anything wrong by saying, like, our current roster could be leading the division by the All-Star break and could win with 87, 88 wins this year. I want to defend Scott Harris because I don't necessarily agree that it would have been the right move to pay Matt Chapman $54 million. And I'm not suggesting that you guys are saying that as well. But I think what will really make me mad is if he doesn't take that money that he saved, not spending this offseason, and he doesn't lock up Scooball and Riley Green.
Well,
that's what'll make me pissed going forward.
So, Alexander, let's meet in the middle. So, first of all, what you should be angry about is, okay, you don't like Chapman. A, the idea they didn't call anyone, which they didn't, but then they did spend $25 million on Mark Canha and Kenta Maeda. That's a disaster. Then factor in the choice you made in the draft, which it is pennies on the dollar in today's world. You chose to kick the can to 2027 versus middle of the order college bat who was ready from day one for the Rangers. I will meet you in the middle on this. If this offseason, if they don't raise this payroll by $50, $60 million and they don't get serious about providing a product now, that to me is the final frontier with me with Scott Harris. It's the winter meetings and the offseason. It is, come on, enough.
I'm not here to defend like the Maeda signing. I didn't think it was great. I also don't think that anybody thought he was going to be as bad as he was.
Nobody did. A lot of people thought it was a decent signing, including most of us. But the difference is we're not paid to be wrong.
And he gave him a 2-year deal when he gave Flaherty a 1. Plus, Canha's been a nothing. I mean, Alexander, listen, you can do what you want to do. If you think Scott Harris is brilliant, it's fine. I need to see it to believe it. Because so far, I'm sorry. That was a faulty offseason. And it's costing us the ability to have a really fun summer.
Right. We're being selfish.
Yes. I'm a fan. That's what we do.
Yeah, I know.
Christ. It's not like Scott Harris is my brother. I mean, it's just do the job. Win games. I'll say nice things. Tired of watching Akil Badu or watching McKinstry. Yes, I know he actually hit a baseball this weekend. Tired of it.
Come on, Vlad.
Right. But the Buddy Kennedy era. It was a blessed time.
Yes.
248-539.
We'll see what he can get for Flaherty, and he better trade Carson Kelly, too, or Rogers, one or the other. Both those catchers should not be here after the deadline.
No. No. It's Urshela. It's one catcher. I don't know that. I mean, look, would Canha be a depth piece for somebody? Maybe. And it's Flaherty. And I mean, if you're trading those pieces, I can't get all excited about making some run.
No.
But we'll get there. Because right. what if they were buyers for players with term, like a cornerstone piece, adding something to this rebuild in real time? What about that? We'll do that later this week.
Yes.
I'm sure I'll be made fun of for that, too. All right. Brief little moment here to talk a little NFL football, because it never totally stops. We have Kenneth Cott in a hideous Macho Man t-shirt to provide the NFL blitz.
This courtesy of Pro Football Focus. PFF put out their tiered quarterback list. 7 different tiers of value of quarterback.
7?
It is a 7-tier list. We're going to rattle our way through it, okay?
God. Okay.
The 7th one they call the holdovers, just the quarterbacks who are either bad or we just haven't seen enough of them to put them higher on the list.
So hold on. Let's have fun with this.
We're just doing starting quarterbacks.
I was going to ask you, are these 32 quarterbacks broken up into...
Well, it's 32 teams, 7 tiers, but there are combinations. Like, I'll give you one on the list, for example, is Darnold / McCarthy, because we don't know.
Okay, fair. Like, Darnold would be a stopgap. But these are holdovers?
Yes.
All right, let me hear the holdover classification.
Daniel Jones, O'Connell, Minshew, Darnold, McCarthy, and Jared Stidham, Bo Nix.
Yes.
That's 29 through 32.
I think you could also label that guys heading into coffin. Like, it's seriously. I mean, Minshew is a great table setter, great backup. He's a guy in a pinch that can help you. not a starting quarterback in this league for an 18-week season.
No.
The Darnold thing, it's only because McCarthy's not ready. Daniel Jones, it's because they're stuck with him. And Stidham, I bet you Bo Nix wins the job out of camp, be honest with you. So, yes, I'm fine with that. All right, let's go tier six.
Tier six is, quote, the next generation. So, for obvious reasons, you have Will Levis, you have Jaden Daniels, Jacoby Brissett slash Drake May, and Bryce Young and Anthony Richardson. That makes up 24 through 27 or 28.
I like it, but believe it or not, I like the Brissett-May combo.
What?
I think Brissett.
Are you back to doing coke again?
No.
Brissett-May combo with no weapons. Paul Sarah knows. You're back on the dust again,
I'm
aren't you?
Down the road, I think Brissett's going to start, and you know the kid's going to learn, and he's going to be good. That's all.
Okay. I would put that. I would put Brissett in tier seven.
I also would. The next one is can win or lose an entire game single-handedly. That's tier five.
All right, let me hear this.
That's 20, Baker Mayfield, 21, Derek Carr, 22, Russell Wilson, 23, Deshaun Watson.
That's really, really good.
It is.
But I would have put your team in there, too. Sorry.
Who?
I put Daniel Jones in that list.
He's not good enough to be in that tier. He's terrible.
But he can win or lose.
He can't win you a game. Even when the Giants went to the playoffs, he had 14 touchdowns.
With his legs. He can win you one
game.
He's
in a wheelchair. So, look. The Watson one is the one that really jumps out. When he just stays out of the way and makes some throws, they're great. But, man, do you see Watson make some hideous decisions. That's the one that jumps out to me. Some of those guys are over the hill. This is a dude with the largest guaranteed contract in the history of the NFL.
The next one is the most populated tier of the list. It's called the melting pot of quarterbacks. It contains 11 through 19. So stop me when you have something to say on one of them. 19 is Caleb Williams, 18 Geno Smith, 17 Kyler Murray, and 16 Jared Goff is in there.
Oh, Goff should be better.
That's a disgrace.
Yeah.
What kind of list is this?
I just saw an ESPN list today where they have the top 10 by all the executives and the...
Oh, we'll get into that. We will get that one, too.
Look, the Caleb Williams one is the other one I take issue with. I'm a big believer, Stoney. I'm a big believer in the Bears this year. Yeah. I think they're going to be a pain in the ass. And Caleb, if he is anything close to what's been promised, with the weapons they've provided him, they're going to be a pain in the ass because that defense is good.
Don't you think you'd have the exact same opinion if they kept Justin Fields?
No.
Really?
No.
I do.
Because, again, look at his record. He doesn't win football games.
But he's got better stuff with him this year.
Okay, but again, I can't. Like, okay. The league spoke on Justin Fields, not quarterback. I believed for a long time, but I have to get... He's football's Wyatt Langford. I've got to let go. There we go. We've lost Tony. I got to let it go.
And continuing in the melting pot of quarterbacks, above Jared Goff, mind you, 15, Kirk Cousins.
No.
14, Tua.
No.
I'm sorry, Mike. This one's really going to grind your gears. 13, the rat himself.
No.
Brock Purdy.
There is no world I take Brock Purdy over Jared Goff. None. None.
Oh, because he's more mobile, Mike.
I don't care.
I know.
They have disrespected Jared Goff in unimaginable ways.
I know.
And the last two in this tier is Trevor Lawrence and 11, Jordan Love.
See, I would take Love over Goff, and I'm not saying that to be provocative. I think Jordan Love has stepped forward and has incredible physical gifts, and he ushered in an offense with a collection of nobodies at wide receiver. Young, mid-round selection guys. Jordan Love might be a top five QB in this league. That's the one. The rest of them, you could put Goff over him.
I need more evidence on Love. He was terrific, like you said, but once the tape is out, sometimes defenses can adjust.
Now, the next tier is playoff caliber quarterbacks. Number 10, C.J. Stroud. 9, Jalen Hurts. 8, Aaron Rodgers. Stoney, you look confused.
Well, I'm confused because Jared Goff fits that category of a player. He won 2 playoff games this past year. He went to a Super Bowl. With another team.
I'm with Mike Stone.
Come on.
I stand with Mr. Stone.
Yeah, you can't tell me that there's 15 better quarterbacks in football than Jared
Goff. No.
That does seem a little ridiculous. 9 was Hurts. 8 was Aaron Rodgers. 7, Matthew Stafford. 6, Dak Prescott.
Stop. Okay. Stop. The group you listed as playoff quarterbacks, both of them would be above Stafford and Dak for me.
Goff, right?
No. C.J. Stroud or Matt Stafford?
Yeah.
C.J. Stroud.
Yes.
C.J. Stroud or Numbnuts. What was the other guy? No, Dak Prescott.
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah.
That's out of order. The Goff slander in this, I mean, my goodness. But then again, it's Pro Football Focus. They probably had some guy in Ireland put the list together.
Well, I was going to say, this isn't like it's a blogger's list for some website. This is PFF. You'd expect it to be maybe a little bit closer.
Yeah, if you ask T.J. Lang about PFF.
No, he's not a fan. The last one in this postseason caliber quarterbacks is Justin Herbert at number 5.
I think Herbert is a little too high. This is a guy that's never made the playoffs. This is a guy that it's all hype, very little on the delivery.
No,
aspect.
He made the playoffs. He just blew a big lead in their playoff game.
Oh, you're right. You're
Miami.
Right. Guys didn't want a playoff.
Yes.
Yes. I apologize.
That's okay.
Yes. Yeah. The Trevor Lawrence game.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
This tier, I have a feeling you're really going to take issue with.
What?
The elite is what this tier is called.
Okay.
4, Josh Allen, a little high for me. 3, Joe Burrow, and 2, Lamar Jackson.
I'm out.
Number 2.
He is the Dexter Manley of quarterbacks. He can't read a defense. Illiterate. Can't read a defense. And again, go to the Chiefs game, watch the tape. Steve Spagnuolo said, you can't read a defense. You can't stay in the pocket. And you can't sort coverage, and you can't throw it accurately.
What if this list only can involve regular season games?
Then he'd be the best quarterback in football.
Okay.
And there's an argument for number 2, but on this list, if you all of it total, we had playoff caliber quarterbacks. I think Lamar probably drops into the middle or bottom of that.
I'm done with it. Losing playoff record, a guy whose numbers just. And all the time, it's always, oh, poor Lamar. Oh, he needs this. Oh, he needs that. Really? Really? They've done everything for him. Oh, you want Odell? We'll give you Odell. You want us to take a first-round wide receiver? We'll do it. And then we'll do it again with Zay Jones. Continued reinvestment in the O-line. Continued reinvestment in running backs. Oh, hey, we got one great tight end. Here's another in Isaiah Likely.
And he plays with a great defense.
Thank you. Enough.
And the last tier is just called Mahomes, and it features one player, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, it's God tier.
Yeah.
He's the Michael Jordan of the NFL, period. I mean, I don't think I'll ever see a player like him again in my lifetime. He is, Stoney, I don't know, man. You've got a bigger catalog than I do. He's the best quarterback I've ever watched.
He's the best. Look, has he won as many as Brady? No. Has he won as many as Montana? No. But when you combine how many he's won with the actual talent and what he can do and the innovation, the improvisation that he does, he's the best this old fart's ever seen.
And that is In Football Today.
All right. Brief little moment here to talk a little NFL football because it never totally stops. We have Kenneth Cott in a hideous Macho Man t-shirt to provide the NFL blitz.
This courtesy of Pro Football Focus, PFF put out their tiered quarterback list. 7 different tiers of value of quarterback.
7?
It is a 7-tier list. We're going to rattle our way through it, okay?
God.
Okay.
The 7th one, they call the holdovers just the quarterbacks who are either bad or we just haven't seen enough of them to put them higher on the list.
So hold on. Let's have fun with this.
We're just doing starting quarterbacks?
I was going to ask you, are 32 quarterbacks broken up into...
Well, it's 32 teams, 7 tiers, but there are combinations. Like, I'll give you one on the list, for example, is Darnold / McCarthy because we don't know.
Okay, fair. Like, Darnold would be a stopgap. But these are holdovers?
Yes.
All right, let me hear the holdover classification.
Daniel Jones, O'Connell, Minshew, Darnold, McCarthy, and Jared Stidham, Bo Nix.
Yes.
That's 29 through 32.
I think you could also label that guys heading into coffin. Like, it's seriously. I mean, Minshew is a great table setter, great backup. He's a guy in a pinch that can help you. Not a starting quarterback in this league for an 18-week season.
No.
The Darnold thing, it's only because McCarthy's not ready. Daniel Jones, it's because they're stuck with him. And Stidham, I bet you Bo Nix wins the job out of camp, be honest with you. So, yes, I'm fine with that. All right, let's go tier 6.
Tier 6 is, quote, the next generation. So, for obvious reasons, you have Will Levis. You have Jaden Daniels, Jacoby Brissett slash Drake May, and Bryce Young and Anthony Richardson. That makes up 24 through 27 or 28.
I like it, but believe it or not, I like the Brissett May combo.
What?
I think Brissett.
Are you back to doing coke again?
No.
Brissett May combo with no weapons. Paul Sarah knows. You're man, back on the dust again,
I'm
aren't you?
Down the road, I think Brissett's going to start, and you know the kid's going to learn, and he's going to be good. That's all.
Okay. I would put that. I would put Brissett in tier seven.
I also would. The next one is can win or lose an entire game single-handedly. That's tier five.
All right, let me hear this.
That's 20, Baker Mayfield, 21, Derek Carr, 22, Russell Wilson, 23, Deshaun Watson.
That's really, really good.
It is.
But I would have put your team in there, too. Sorry.
Who?
I put Daniel Jones in that
He's
list.
Not good enough to be in that tier. He's terrible.
But he can win or lose.
He can't win you a game. Even when the Giants went to the playoffs, he had 14 touchdowns.
With his legs. He can win you one
He's
game.
In a wheelchair. So, look. The Watson one is the one that really jumps out. When he just stays out of the way and makes some throws, they're great. But, man, do you see Watson make some hideous decisions. That's the one that jumps out to me. Some of those guys are over the hill. This is a dude with the largest guaranteed contract in the history of the NFL.
The next one is the most populated tier of the list. It's called the melting pot of quarterbacks. It contains 11 through 19. So stop me when you have something to say on one of them. 19 is Caleb Williams, 18 Geno Smith, 17 Kyler Murray, and 16 Jared Goff is in there.
Oh, Goff should be better.
That's a disgrace.
Yeah.
Kind of list is this?
I just saw an ESPN list today where they have the top 10 by all the executives and the
We will get that
okay.
one too.
Look, the Caleb Williams one is the other one I take issue with. I'm a big believer, Stoney. I'm a big believer in the Bears this year. Yeah. I think they're going to be a pain in the ass. And Caleb, if he is anything close to what's been promised, with the weapons they've provided him, they're going to be a pain in the ass because that defense is good.
Don't you think you'd have the exact same opinion if they kept Justin Fields?
No.
Really?
No.
I do.
Because, again, look at his record. He doesn't win football games.
But he's got better stuff with him this year.
Okay, but again, I can't. Like, okay. The league spoke on Justin Fields, not quarterback. I believed for a long time, but I have to get... He's football's Wyatt Langford. I've got to let go. There we go. We've lost Tony. I got to let it go.
And continuing in the melting pot of quarterbacks, above Jared Goff, mind you, 15, Kirk Cousins.
No.
14, Tua.
No.
I'm sorry, Mike. This one's really going to grind your gears. 13, the rat himself.
No.
Brock Purdy.
There is no world I take Brock Purdy over Jared Goff. None. None.
Oh, because he's more mobile, Mike.
I don't care.
I know.
They have disrespected Jared Goff in unimaginable ways.
I know.
And the last two in this tier is Trevor Lawrence and 11, Jordan Love.
See, I would take Love over Goff, and I'm not saying that to be provocative. I think Jordan Love has stepped forward and has incredible physical gifts, and he ushered in an offense with a collection of nobodies at wide receiver. Young, mid-round selection guys. Jordan Love might be a top five QB in this league. That's the one. The rest of them, you could put Goff over him.
I need more evidence on Love. He was terrific, like you said, but once the tape is out, sometimes defenses can adjust.
Now, the next tier is playoff caliber quarterbacks. Number 10, C.J. Stroud. 9, Jalen Hurts. 8, Aaron Rodgers. Stoney, you look confused.
Well, I'm confused because Jared Goff fits that category of a player. He won 2 playoff games this past year. He went to a Super Bowl. With another team.
I'm with Mike Stone.
Come on.
I stand with Mr. Stone.
Yeah, you can't tell me that there's 15 better quarterbacks in football than Jared.
No.
That does seem a little ridiculous. 9 was Hurts. 8 was Aaron Rodgers. 7, Matthew Stafford. 6, Dak Prescott.
Stop. The group you listed as playoff quarterbacks, both of them would be above Stafford and Dak for me.
Goff? Right?
No. C.J. Stroud or Matt Stafford?
Yeah.
C.J. Stroud.
Yes.
C.J. Stroud or Numbnuts. What was the other guy? No, Dak Prescott.
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah.
That's out of order. The Goff slander in this, I mean, my goodness. But then again, it's Pro Football Focus. They probably had some guy in Ireland put the list together.
Well, I was going to say, this isn't like it's a blogger's list for some website. This is PFF. You'd expect it to be maybe a little bit closer.
Yeah, if you ask TJ Lang about PFF.
I know, he's not a fan. The last one in this postseason caliber quarterbacks is Justin Herbert at number 5.
I think Herbert is a little too high. This is a guy that's never made the playoffs. This is a guy that it's all hype. Very little on the delivery.
No,
aspect.
He made the playoffs. He just blew a big lead in their playoff game.
Oh, you're right. You're
Miami.
Right. Guys didn't want a playoff. Yes. Yes. I apologize.
That's okay.
Yes. Yeah. The Trevor Lawrence game. Yes. Yeah. Yep.
This tier, I have a feeling you're really going to take issue with.
What?
The elite is what this tier is called.
Okay.
4, Josh Allen. A little high for me. 3, Joe Burrow. And 2, Lamar Jackson.
I'm out.
Number 2.
He is the Dexter Manley of quarterbacks. He can't read a defense. Illiterate. Can't read a defense. And again, go to the Chiefs game, watch the tape. Steve Spagnuolo said, you can't read a defense. You can't stay in the pocket, and you can't sort coverage, and you can't throw it accurately.
What if this list only involved regular season games?
Then he'd be the best quarterback in football.
Okay.
And there's an argument for number 2, but on this list, if you all of it total, we had playoff caliber quarterbacks. I think Lamar probably drops into the middle or bottom of that.
I'm done with it. Losing playoff record, a guy whose numbers just, and all the time it's always, oh, poor Lamar. Oh, he needs this. Oh, he needs that. Really? Really? They've done everything for him. Oh, you want Odell? We'll give you Odell. You want us to take a first-round wide receiver? We'll do it. And then we'll do it again with Zay Jones. Continued reinvestment in the O-line. Continued reinvestment in running backs. Oh, hey, we got one great tight end. Here's another in Isaiah Likely.
And he plays with a great defense.
Thank you. Enough.
And the last tier is just called Mahomes, and it features one player, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, it's God tier.
Yeah.
He's the Michael Jordan of the NFL, period. I mean, I don't think I'll ever see a player like him again in my lifetime. He is, Stoney, I don't know, man. You've got a bigger catalog than I do. He's the best quarterback I've ever watched.
He's the best. Look, has he won as many as Brady? No. Has he won as many as Montana? No. But when you combine how many he's won with the actual talent and what he can do and the innovation, the improvisation that he does, he's the best this old fart's ever seen.
And that is In Football Today.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.